Burgundy, coming to you from Europe's greatest city that isn't London or Paris or Copenhagen, cake and bacon. That's a pastry, right?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
My name is Kevin Beacon. For those of you who need an introduction, I am an award-winning journalist. I've won a local Emmy. But in truth, I'm just a gypsy tumbling around the globe, chasing truth, which is, as you know, quicksilver. The more you try to grasp it, the more it slips through your hands. News, because I am the face of it in Spokane, Washington, is my life, my lover, my mistress, my best friend, and I will fight to the death to defend it. And with that, I relinquish to you, Mr. Chair.
And now,
we need to try to figure out how to create education better.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 15th of September. We start today with the guy that went into a bank and robbed a bank, but then he didn't go anywhere. He just sat on the couch, and then the people came, the cops came, and he said, I'm the guy you're looking for, and they took him to jail, and he did that to get away from his wife. That's story one.
Story two, pee-pee doll.
Story two is pee-pee doll. It was a restaurant, and they had this little doll, this little tiny, like, two-inch thing, and it sprayed water, but there was no penis involved or
really?
Anything. And there was a woman there, and she sued for sexual harassment. So that's story two.
Okay.
Just get those out of the way.
Okay.
All right, now, I'm going to start into a new story.
Okay.
And I'm gonna pause it for a second.
Okay.
And I'm just going to get the read of the room.
Right.
Is this story cool?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Here we go.
A woman says a catfish fell from the sky and smacked her in the face.
All right. Has anyone heard this one?
No.
Okay. This is a true story.
No, it's not.
This is a true story.
Kevin, I'm concerned about your sources.
Me too, but... I believe it.
Okay.
And I believe you will, too.
All right.
And you'll love it.
A woman says a catfish fell from the sky and smacked her in the face. This bizarre incident has everybody talking. As you can imagine, Eyewitness News reporter Anita Oh spoke to the victim today.
Now, the reporter says something that might be sort of obvious.
Usually you find catfish in the water.
That's a good point.
That is a great point. Journalism school, Kevin, you don't just learn those facts anywhere.
That is usually where they are found. That is true, yes.
This one came straight from the sky.
Within a few seconds, I was slammed in the face with something.
Right?
Come on.
Within a few seconds, I was slammed in. These are people who were exercising.
Okay.
On the steps of an art museum in Philadelphia.
So they weren't even by the water?
No, ma'am.
What's happening?
Let me just back that up a little bit because I want you to hear that part again.
Okay.
It makes me laugh so much.
Okay.
I mean, imagine you're just exercising and then...
I was slammed in the face with something.
Oh, jeez, Kevin.
Right?
Oh.
Yes.
She was just standing there and then slammed in the face.
Right. Okay. I don't think it's that kind of story, though.
By a fish.
I think it might have been head, face, and neck because I smelled so bad afterwards.
It's definitely not the morning Lisa Lobry expected during her walk to a Labor Day boot camp class at the art museum.
I'm more likely to get struck by lightning than get hit by a fish falling from the sky.
But on Monday morning, that's exactly what happened.
How about that?
I'm not following.
Okay. She was exercising.
Right.
She got hit in the face.
Yes.
With a catfish.
I get that.
That fell out of the sky.
How's that happening?
I will tell you right now. Thank
okay.
you for asking.
All right.
Apparently, a bird had a fish in its beak or its feet and dropped it right on Lisa's head. And
immediately.
That's her friend who's laughing while telling the story.
Well, she should be.
Bird had a fish and dropped it. Tried to, like hell to hang on to it, I'm sure.
Who? Wow.
Right?
It's just your time, right?
I mean, really, there's nothing else you can say about that.
I
mean, somebody somewhere, God, the universe, somebody just take it and go.
Yeah.
Lisa
deserves a catfish to the face.
That's right.
Freaked out and fell to the ground.
She believes the fish fell from about 50 feet overhead, measured up to 18 inches, and weighed about 5 pounds. That's a
I don't think this is...
18 inches, 5 pounds?
It's huge. Falling from the sky, too. That velocity. Can you even imagine that hitting you?
5 pounds from the sky.
That's a lot.
She's lucky to be alive.
Can you imagine? imagine.
That's not how you want to go.
No.
Oh, she was such a great person. She was just trying to exercise.
We loved her.
She was great. She made everyone around her happier.
She really lit up a room.
Right. Yeah. Until that fish fell from the sky and hit her in the face.
That's a little under a gallon of milk.
It might sound funny.
That was a weight reference. It's okay. A little under a gallon of milk.
Okay. Whether from the fins or from pure shock.
And I had a fever. It was swollen all the way down here. Hurt all the way down into my neck.
The encounter left its mark, a scar under her left eye, and perhaps an emotional one, too.
I was really upset, actually. I was pretty hysterical.
The next day, a doctor gave Lisa a tetanus shot, recommended ice, and prescribed antibiotics. But Lisa says the best medicine now is laughter.
Like, I think that of all things to happen, like, it was like, traumatic at the time, but it's funny. And there's just so many worse things and so many bad things that happen.
Listen to her.
I mean, she had a real, real nice turnaround.
Right.
She could have been real sad about this for years. Really, you know, blamed everyone for what happened that morning.
Sure.
But no, she turned it into a...
Why me?
She turned it into a positive. My God. Wouldn't you find it funny immediately?
Yes.
I would want everyone to know I just got hit in the face by a catfish falling from the sky.
Yes. I mean, you'd be stunned and you wouldn't know what happened because she didn't see it coming.
Right.
Or hear it or anything.
Right.
You'd
think someone tossed a catfish at you. Which is weird. And
I'm sorry, what did you just say?
You heard me.
I'm saying at first.
Yeah.
You just get hit by something and you don't know what.
Okay. Wouldn't you think once you saw it on the ground, like, who just chucked this at me?
I don't know. You would look at the fish and your mind might just be paralyzed for a few seconds trying to figure out, is that a fish? Is that going to be
a kale? What hit me?
Did one of my friends throw a catfish at me? I mean, that's also weird.
Right.
Is that a prank that you pull on a friend?
I haven't yet.
Well, yet is the key word there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's the beginning story for today.
Well, good job, Kevin.
Hit
I have not
in
heard
the head
that.
By a fish. All. Thank you. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I just don't care at all.
Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Excellent.
Always have him on Thursday. Speaking of Thursdays, we have Jim Rome. We'll be talking sports with him. We're going to talk about college roommate disasters.
Oh, man.
This is that time of year. You don't know that person, and then you get your dorm assignment, and then you get a name, and these days you get the Facebook, and you can look them up ahead of time. But some of them go straight south.
Yeah.
And it's ugly.
Yeah.
We also have Kevin James on the program today.
What?
Talking about his new show, Kevin Can Wait.
Kevin, how excited are you?
See,
because you
just
love him. No, because on the segue and then
I do love those
clean
movies.
Pane of glass.
He did hit a really clean pane of glass.
Yeah.
And comedian Brad Williams will join us in studio as well. We'll take a break and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. I feel like that recording in its entirety has that handled.
Yeah. Well, feelings aren't facts, Kevin.
Okay. All right. That's tough to argue.
Right.
I just got a tweet from a guy who said I was doing that last story about a woman getting hit in the head with a catfish.
Yeah.
And that he was at the drive-thru window and he pulled up and this blasted. And the woman was looking at him like, what?
Yeah, that's when she started taking her clothes off in the window, right?
I don't think that's what happened
said.
At all.
You want some hot fries?
Really? God, Ralph, I don't want you writing porn.
I don't know. He hashtagged it FML, so F my life. So I don't think it necessarily worked in his favor.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
No.
I thought when girls heard that music, they just started getting randy.
That was fun.
Yeah.
Ralph is here now with a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. Money and women. That's what's going on.
Money and women.
First, you get the money. Right? You get the women. Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Forbes magazine, which now exists solely to put out lists of rich people.
That's it.
As far as I can tell. Has released their annual list of highest paid TV actresses. Highest paid TV actresses. Now keep in mind, these earnings are for one calendar year. Not for a lifetime of work. Not for this is what you get when you retire because all your investments are paying out. This is for 1 year's work.
So
no wonder people want to get into show business.
You're saying it's for 1 year.
Oh, my God. Here are your top 10 richest TV actresses. You want to take any guesses?
Sofia Vergara.
Sofia Vergara. That's a pretty good guess, seeing that it's number one.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
You saw the list.
I did not. She's just always making the most
totes.
Money.
Totes.
Yeah, it was like... Read Forbes.
She made $43 million.
Wait, wow. In 1 year.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that clothing and
that's,
perfume or whatever?
Starring on Modern Family.
Yeah.
Head and Shoulders. She's a spokesperson for them. Ninja Coffee Bar. Charisma Scrubs. She's got some makeup deals.
Wow.
This is endorsements and salary in toto. $43 million.
Is number two Snooki.
Snooki's just outside the top 10, apparently, this
so
year.
Close.
Any other guesses? Anybody want to play for real, not Kevin?
I was going to guess Kelly Cuoco.
Kelly Cuoco, number two on the list.
Thank you.
Guys are on fire. Big Bang Theory star earned $24.5 million at number two. $24.5 million for a year's work.
For what time frame?
Wouldn't you stop working if you made $24 million?
You would think. Yeah.
I'd have one good year, and I'd be like, oh, thanks, everybody.
Had a good run.
Yeah, good luck. Anyone else?
Kelly Ripa?
That's a pretty
good guess,
Kevin.
I don't know, I'm just trying to guess people that are on
pretty good guess. Did you stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night?
I did, thank you, Ralph.
Something sharp about you this morning. You told a story that no one else has told on this show earlier.
I did. Yeah.
And now you're coming up with names that are actually relevant to the list we've made.
Is that what on the list?
No.
Okay.
Mm. No, I don't know why, but I guess there's more money to be made in primetime, because all these women are primetime stars.
What are the judges on America's Got Talent? How about that?
Okay, now you're back.
Gwen Stefani.
Kevin's back.
That's the voice.
The voice.
That's the voice, yeah. And she's not really a TV star. She would be considered a musician, I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, if she was on TV for a season, she would be a TV star.
Would she?
For that year.
Do you think Gwen Stefani think, whoa, what a TV celebrity she
but
is.
But don't they get, like... Don't they get paid a tremendous amount of money to sit there and be a judge?
Yes, I
yes,
think.
But I don't think you're missing the category again. I think perhaps...
Is it on TV?
This isn't the list of people on TV. This is the highest paid list of TV actresses.
TV actresses. Okay. For what period of time?
Oh, my God. Mindy Kaling was third.
Wow.
How about that? I think it's
really?
Because she owns her show, I believe, and is a producer as well.
Wow.
She's the star of The Mindy Project. $15 million. She made this.
That's shocking.
I did not see that coming. Yeah. Good for her.
There's a tie at fourth with Ellen Pompeo and Mariska Hargitay.
Ah.
From Grey's Anatomy and Law & Order SVU. Each earned $14.5 million. Then Kerry Washington in Scandal.
Sure.
Oh, love.
Stana Katic, our good friend Stana Katic on Castle, made $12 million. Rest in peace, Castle. Priyanka Chopra from Quantico. She's the lovely Indian actress from that
yeah.
show. She's got a bunch of other stuff going on, too, in terms of modeling and spokesperson work and everything. But it made $11 million.
Nice.
Juliana Margulies, $10.5 mil. And then at number 10, Julie Bowen, Sofia Vergara's Modern Family castmate, made $10 million. So, not too bad. Not too shabby.
Not too shabby.
Wow, that's amazing.
So, girls, ladies, women.
Mm-hmm.
Get into acting, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I'm
guessing there's money to be had.
I'm guessing that
there's tons of money to be had, Kevin.
But I'm guessing that while the top 10 made a lot of money, maybe there are a lot of actresses that didn't necessarily.
No, I think everyone makes millions.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. your first job out.
Learn how science works.
I'm sorry, my bad.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Tom Hardy.
Oh. I love my permission to die.
39 years old today.
He's such a good actor.
Great actor.
He is great.
Did you see Legend?
Is that he and his brother? No, what was that? Which
Legend is the story of...
That's Legends of the Fall.
No, wait for it, Allie, before you judge. Legend is the story
twins.
Of the twin gangster brothers
sorry,
in England
Kevin.
In the 60s.
I should stab you right in the eye.
And Tom Hardy...
Or something less aggressive.
Tom Hardy played both roles. He played both twins
he
in that
film. It was amazing.
It was outstanding. And Kevin was right on.
Thank you.
Which brother did you like better? The gay brother or the straight brother?
Gay.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Right, Kevin? Give me Reggie, you said. Director Oliver Stone is 70 years old today, as is actor Tommy Lee Jones, also 70. You know, of course, who Tommy Lee Jones' college roommate was, Kevin?
Dan Rather.
Nope. Dan Rather.
Weird.
Honestly, I don't know.
Al Gore.
Al Gore.
Al Gore was Tommy Lee Jones.
Now that you say that, I remember hearing
college roommate.
Yep.
That's a tough That's a tough room to beat in the dorm, isn't it, when those two guys come out of the same room?
And what a party, right?
Right, those two.
With Al?
Oh, Al's there inside inventing the internet in the room, and Tommy's all scowling at people. I'd say they had fun, but they're very successful men.
Right.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 15 seconds ago.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:23. We're going to talk to Kevin James in about 15 minutes. We've also got funny man Brad Williams coming into the studio. Jim Rome, Dr. Drew, like we do on Thursdays. First, this story is sort of strange. You know how animals go extinct?
Yep.
Several animals have gone extinct in the last decade, including the budgie dolphin, the Spix macaw, spelled S-P-I-X, the Liverpool pigeon, and the West African black rhino.
Wow.
They go extinct.
Never to see them again.
Right.
By definition.
Thanks for clarifying.
No problem.
One animal which has been pulled back from the brink of destruction, of extinction, is the Galapagos giant tortoise.
Oh.
And it's because of one tortoise that is putting in work.
Really?
Yes. There's one tortoise that is about 100 years old.
Okay.
And has 800 offspring.
Whoa.
Pretty much single-handedly making sure that that tortoise does not go extinct.
Wow.
That's pretty...
That is a busy tortoise.
That's a baller tortoise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's insane.
So he's getting it done.
We asked Dave, the King of Mexico, if we could talk to the Galapagos National Park and find out exactly what's going on down there with this turtle. Hello. Hello? Hello?
Hi, sir.
Hi,
who's
this? The Galapagos National Park?
Hi. This is...
Galapagos National Park.
Galapagos...
National Park.
National...
Park.
Park.
Okay. Are you a ranger there? What do you do, sir?
I am not a ranger.
Are you a PR person? Okay.
Scratching off about 10 questions.
Diego.
You're Diego the tortoise.
I...
Just yes or no.
Am... Diego.
Right.
The
tortoise. Okay.
So you're single-handedly responsible for this species not going extinct. Congrats.
Sweet Jesus.
I just said all that.
Okay.
Yes or no questions from now
on.
Father. Over
800 offspring, other tortoises.
Children.
Okay.
Children.
Yep.
Okay.
Of. Mine.
Right.
And.
Okay.
Several female tortoises.
So
okay.
God.
I. Knocked.
Right. Now, it sounds like you're not... All right.
I like to bone.
Right. Right.
Do tortoises call it boning?
We...
That was not a
It's just yes or no. I mean...
I thought it was a yes or no.
Many.
Okay.
Okay.
Name.
Please don't name them.
Okay.
I mean, we...
Right.
Say,
I'm sure you do.
My personal favorite.
No need to name them.
Yes,
we're good. Is Shell Shock.
We welcome to the show now, Kevin James. Kevin, how are you today?
Hey,
I'm welcome.
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you
so much.
Tell us about kicking off another new sitcom now in this world of so many different options. Is it tougher now than it was for your last one?
You know, it's just different because I think the attention span of people is crazy. You have so many formats that you can watch and screens that you can look at, so it's tough getting the attention and the eyeballs. But so you really want to come in and obviously do, you know, hit them with a solid show and something that they can feel comfortable with and relate to.
Tell us about your character and his retirement, what he's retiring from and what he's retiring to.
I am, like most of my buddies, a lot of my buddies from Long Island are retired police officers. They've been on the force and they all went into the academy at the same time. They retired like 20 years later and they're a little younger than me, in their mid-40s, a lot of them, but they're done. They're done with work, and now they have this retirement dream that they plan on, you know, playing tackle football with their buddies and drinking during the day and going to baseball games and all that nonsense. And then they also have their families, and they're just kind of at home now, and they've got to, you know, drive to volleyball, all family type of stuff, take the kids this way, that way. And it's just that life has been set up with the family in a specific way where the mother's taken over and kind of set the rules up, and now I'm coming up and kind of disrupting that, I guess.
That cuts into the day drinking.
Yeah, that a tad. Or does it?
Or does it, Kevin? Hey, what was the decision like to actually go home, and now you're filming on Long Island? Is this the first show to be shot at a studio in Long Island in primetime?
The first episodic sitcom to be shot. Yeah, that was the only way I was going to do it. I only wanted to do it that way because I knew Long Island is literally a character in this thing, and it's very unique, and it's the way that it is with the restaurants and the people and all that type of stuff. So I wanted to bring that into it and shoot at the locations. If we go to Citi Field, we're going to go to Citi Field. If we're going to do, you know, so we're really going to do that. And that was one of the things I missed in the King of Queens, where we couldn't do so much being out in L.A. We weren't able to, you know, come back and do that and give that real feel of being back east here. So we're trying to do that as best we can.
The actress that plays your wife, Donna, Erin Hayes, is one of my favorites from Children's Hospital. She's Dr. Lola Spratt, and she is so great. How did you choose her?
It was incredible. I didn't know too much about Children's Hospital. Then I watched some episodes. We were searching. We couldn't find anybody. We were having a hard time with that. And then I saw that, and she was amazing, and I'm like, wow. And then we started watching. I wanted to see her in some talk shows to see how she just kind of handled herself. She was just phenomenally funny, just unbelievable. And when we met her, we flew her out to New York, and she came out. It was like I'd known her my whole life. It was like one of those things. And I got to say that about the whole cast. It's the same thing where that's the one thing that is very difficult, to get a cast to kind of work together. And it takes time to get to know everybody's timing and feel, you know. And that was the one thing. I feel like we're in season four when we're shooting episodes now, you know, with this crew. It just feels like a well-oiled machine. So that's fun.
So you're saying it seems like forever already?
He's exhausted over these people.
In that comfortable old catcher's mitt way.
Yeah. I gotcha. You know, you always see people retire and say that they want to spend more time with their family. And I always wonder if their family has already built a whole system to get around without that person. Mm-hmm. And will this screw everything up?
That's exactly what happens. I mean, you know, being a cop, he was working overtime, doing a lot of stuff. He's away. So Donna in the show has to set up, the wife has to set up the way things are going to go. And this is what we're going to run here when he's not here. And when I come home, you know, it's already been established. And when I'm trying to inject myself back into their lives in that way, it's like we already know what we're doing. We got this. Don't worry. Step aside. You know.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's it.
Oh, you're now a dad. So you've got four kids. That must kind of play into a lot of what you're writing, a lot of differences between this and King of Queens.
Without a doubt. I mean, that was what, you know, when the King of Queens was going, we were drawing, myself and all the writers at the time, you just draw the comedy from your life. And now that I have kids and so many of the writers, and I've got a few writers from the King of Queens here, we all have kids in our lives. That's what we're writing about. And that's the comedy that's coming up. You know, that's where you draw these stories from. So I was excited because I'd never done that before. So I'm looking forward to.
Would you say that you're a good dad, and would your kids say that you're a good dad?
Oof, good question. Wow. You know, you can always be better. I'm trying to be a good... I think they would say that I'm a good dad.
All right.
They don't get my comedy like a lot of people. I don't get it. My five-year-old son actually said to his dad, why do you fall down so much and everything?
What?
He's literally falling down.
Why is dad so clumsy running into glass?
That's your wheelhouse, Kevin.
I said that. I go, do you like this house we're in? This stuff isn't easy. I'm like, who are you talking? You talking to the critics? He's like, I just think you're doing it too much.
That kid's reading too many blogs is the thing. I read that one of your kids tells other friends that you're doing a lot of adult movies.
Well, my daughter, who she loves, because I've done Hotel Transylvania, mm-hmm. and there was a couple, I forget, like what I did. They love watching that with the Adam Sandler, the cartoon movies.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, are you working on one of those now? And at the time, I'm doing another movie called True Memoirs of an International Assassin. I said, no, I'm doing a grown-up movie, you know, where it's just adults, and that, you know, it's not... she goes, why don't you do? Why are you doing adult movies? And I go, you can't call it adult movies. You're a grown up.
I mean, word on the street.
He's literally telling everybody, my dad keeps doing adult movies. I want him to do kid movies.
If you don't mind, I'd just like to clarify. You're not doing adult movies, right?
No.
Okay, good. All right. I'm just checking. I just need to make sure.
He wanted some titles, Kevin.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That's it. Well, it looks great. It's called Kevin Can Wait. It premieres this Monday, September 19th at 8:30 on CBS. And we appreciate your time today, Kevin, and best of luck.
Thanks, guys. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
We don't hang out with Stryker enough.
Guy's like the ambassador of Hamer.
Right?
The Hamer ambassador. He's like some sort of ambassador.
We should spend some more time with him.
He should wear a sash.
And a crown.
And a crown.
No, that's a beauty pageant winner. I think ambassadors just wear sashes.
He's pretty.
He's like an ambassador.
Yeah. Sure is.
We should have him in.
All right, we'll work on that. 6:53, time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
Star Wars, wonderful Star Wars. Those near and those far wars coming to you.
What's new in Star Wars news?
Big deal. Big deal. Turner Broadcasting has picked up 10 of the 11 Star Wars movies for TNT and TBS broadcast rights.
Which one did they leave out?
Oh. The crappy one. This includes network premieres of Star Wars The Force Awakens. Now, I don't know who's still waiting for broadcast premieres of movies these days.
Yeah, true.
But if you're one of those people, maybe you don't like your Netflix or your streaming or your DVD or your Blu-ray. Or your movie theaters. Maybe you're the kind of guy who likes to sit at home with rabbit ears in your trailer and just wait till one of those movies comes on broadcast television. Well, then you're in luck. Because Star Wars The Force Awakens will be premiering on TNT and TBS. As will Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which isn't even in theaters yet.
Wow.
This deal.
But let me ask you a question, Ralph. If you're flipping around on TV and you come across any one of the Star Wars movies, do you stay there and watch the
end
of it? Yeah, me too.
I'm locked in.
Same.
There are certain movies... And I rarely watch movies on broadcast television anymore because who deals with commercial interruptions and cuts and edits and stuff? It's a nightmare. But if I'm like bouncing around and there's like a Bond movie on, I'm done for whatever the remainder is. Star Wars, same. Star Trek movies, same. Rocky movies, same. I just
Bridget
get locked
Jones,
in.
Same.
What?
So I get it.
Did you say Bridget Jones?
I did.
We were all having a good time.
Okay.
And then you came along.
This is why you failed.
Right?
All right.
So TNT reportedly aired the first two Star Wars trilogies back-to-back over six consecutive nights, beginning Tuesday, September 20th. Well, this is all very exciting.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
I wonder what they paid. It doesn't say here what the numbers were, but it must have been ridiculous. Ridiculous! While we're talking geeky things...
Would you have loved to be in the negotiation where they went, you know that one? What was it? The first one was the worst?
Yeah, it doesn't say which one...
Here we go. Menace.
Here we go.
Wouldn't you love to have been in that meeting where they went, yeah, we don't want that one?
The deal that was on the outside of this, it was a separate deal that had to be made, was for Star Wars A New Hope, the very first film. So it wasn't that they rejected it.
Oh, okay.
It's that Fox said, you know what? We'll give you a package deal with all these movies, but the OG, the original one... There's a separate price you're going to have to pay for this one.
I thought they were leaving out the weakest one.
I thought they would, too.
Kind of be awesome.
That would be, right?
Yeah, you can keep the Jar Jar Binks one, okay? Why don't you just put that in your hat and smoke it, right? because you smoke things out of your hat, don't you?
A lot of people.
Get out of my house. Yeah. You're smoking in my office.
We'll pay more if we don't have to play the Jar Jar Binks one.
Right. Star Trek Discovery. CBS was all ready to start its new Star Trek TV series early next year, but they pushed the debut back to May now.
Uh-oh.
Right?
That's never good.
Never good. I don't know what's going on, but the network says it's putting its spinoff of The Good Wife into that slot in February. The network says they needed more time for special effects for the new series, which is only beginning to film in November. Oh, they haven't even started production yet, so no wonder they need more time. CBS, you put the cart before the horse. You're too big for your britches, CBS.
Why are you old-time announcing guy?
I don't know, but they need to put that egg cream away and have yourself a seltzer water. I think this is a good idea. Super Troopers 2. Do you guys like this first Super Troopers movie?
Yes, very funny.
They are finally making Super Troopers 2. Deadline reports that the movie is being made through a crowdfunding campaign on Indiegogo, which raised more than $2 million for the film through contributions.
Wow.
I donated.
Did you?
Yeah, so did Chip.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you donate $10,000?
I didn't donate enough to get any of the big prizes, but I wanted to.
Sucker.
I know.
There was a speaking role that they were giving away for a $10,000 donation. Allie, you could have been in Super Troopers 2.
I fail on a lot of levels.
Yeah. Five stars of the movie will be back playing Vermont State Troopers. And added to the cast, Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is going to be joining the cast.
Does Rob Lowe say no to anything?
No.
Okay.
He's a working man.
Having said that, I like him a lot.
I do too. He always makes everything he's in better, especially comedies. He's very good in comedies.
Yeah.
He'll be playing a former hockey player and current mayor of a Canadian town near Quebec. So, there you go. That's right. Youngblood. Remember that movie?
Loved Youngblood.
It's awful. How could you love it?
Because it was hockey and it was Rob Lowe.
But it's awful.
Right.
What about the part about it being
Keanu
awful?
Keanu Reeves in it is unbelievable.
Dude, Patrick Swayze. Come on.
Keanu Reeves has a Canadian accent?
Oh,
you
no.
never heard a worse accent in your life than Keanu Reeves.
It. It's so good.
Ah. So we are playing these men in the hockey. Oh, we got it. We should open up the video vault and go through Youngblood
really
sometime. It's pretty spectacular. And sexy time. Ariana Grande. Uh-oh. Ariana Grande.
Whoever would say the name that way is ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Ariana Grande. Oh, that guy would.
Oh yeah, that guy.
She's got a new boyfriend in a relationship with Mac Miller. It's happening. She made the reveal on the Ellen DeGeneres show yesterday and said they are very happy together. So
that's nice.
That's going to last. So good for those two. They can go out and lick donuts together. Put on her little cat ears.
Look at me. I'm a kitten.
Stop it. Right?
Yeah, I don't think she would be good in a relationship.
But she's a spectacular talent.
Agreed.
She's very talented. Lovely.
I've been very surprised. At first I thought, oh, she's cute. She's pretty.
Another one of those Disney factory pop stars that they just churn out over there.
She's way talented.
Yeah, that voice coming out of such a little person is shocking.
Real gift. Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Hardy is 39 years old today. Well, why are you licking
the microphone? His name and I...
And you want to lick a microphone?
I want to lick anything.
Oh, my Lord. Oliver Stone is 70. What do you do for Oliver Stone?
conspiracies.
Not so
you
much.
You have a lot of conspiracies.
It's true.
I think you have more in common with Oliver Stone than you do Tom Hardy.
Oh, you have no idea.
And actor Tommy Lee Jones celebrates his 70th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You know how pretty much everything on the internet seems like it's negative?
Yes, because the world is awful and we're all doomed.
And the outrage machine kicks in for every single thing that happens. And everybody's mean and everybody's... You know, giving out death threats and all this kind of nonsense. There are a few good stories out there, and this is one of them. Very, very touching story about an 89-year-old man in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood who's still, at 89, sort of hunched over, pushing his little ice pop cart to make money. A guy sees it, puts his picture up, raises money. Check this out.
It's the photograph that went viral within hours. 89-year-old Fidencio Sanchez struggling to push his Paletas cart through Little Village. We found Mr. Sanchez and his cart on 26th Street, selling his ice cream and popsicles. It's a job he's been doing for 20 years, but only in the summer and on nice winter days. Some days making only $8, Other days, 80.
Everybody in Little Village has a lot of respect for him because he's a hard worker. And now that everything became so big and everybody's actually given the respect, it's just amazing.
He was finally slowing down, but then his daughter, who helped support him and his wife, died in June. So when this picture was taken and the GoFundMe account started, it was with the hope of helping Mr. Sanchez take a day off here and there. But what happened warmed the hearts of everyone involved.
On the optimistic side, I was thinking he might get $2,000. Okay. You know, I mean, like, oh, well, you know, maybe we get him a week off, you know, and we got him retired. It's pretty awesome.
He didn't ask for the help and was determined to work until he died. But now the kindness of friends and strangers has changed Mr. Sanchez's world dramatically. Now he says he can finally rest.
What will you say to all the people that gave you all this money?
Es que muchas gracias. Que les agradezco.
Dude named Joel Cervantes saw him, took the picture, put up the money-raising site, and was just wanted to raise $3,000.
Wow.
The time I saw the story, they had raised $150,000.
Whoa.
Let's go to Dave, the King of Mexico, now to find out exactly how much has been raised for this man. Dave?
Wow, he's now at 355,932.
$355,000.
That's unreal.
How great is that?
Dave, what's it like to run up against a Sanchez that works hard?
It's an inspiration, man. Is one it? Day, when I'm 89, and, I hope to be like him.
And you hope to work hard someday as a Sanchez?
Yep.
And can probably say numbers in the right way, where he's 355.
355. Give us a combination to a safe.
So the dude was pushing an ice pop cart at 89. He was hunched over. He could barely move. And people have raised over $355,000 for him.
His wife picture breaks your heart when you see it. So you can understand how people were just drawn to it.
His wife, Eladia, apparently used to sell paletas as well. But she had to switch to candy because the cart was just too heavy for her. So she had to cut back. And then, as the story mentioned, the couple's daughter died. And it's amazing how people have responded to this GoFundMe fundraiser page and risen to the occasion for a guy who's a stranger. But I get the sense because he's been around for such a long time, I mean, for two decades, for 20 years, they've been seeing this guy in his neighborhood. I think a lot of people in that neighborhood probably responded and said, oh, I had no idea he was in such hard times. I'll absolutely give a little something.
You know? Imagine that guy at 89. And by the way, not with a bad attitude. He just figured he would just go ahead and work, and he was okay with it.
Never asked for a thing.
Yeah, he wasn't complaining.
Yeah, this Joel Cervantes is a good dude, the guy who made it all happen. And I bet there's a lot of people in Chicago who are familiar with Fidencio Sanchez, who've seen him around, and he's probably a fixture in that neighborhood. So I thought it'd be a good idea for us to check in with our correspondent in Chicago, our friend Johnny Chicago.
Oh!
Since this takes place in Chicago, I'm sure he's got some insight into Chicago's Little Village and Fidencio Sanchez, the paletas cart pusher down there. Hey, Johnny, you there?
Hey, how you guys doing over there? Yeah, we're hanging out over here in Chicago's Little Village. And let me tell you, Fidencio has had the greatest paletas since 1996.
20 years. Yeah, you did the math. Good, Johnny.
I'm smart over here.
Yeah, you are.
So you're not smart over here. I know that.
How dare you?
So what's the what kind of reputation does Fidencio Sanchez have there in Chicago? Is he well known? Do people think highly of him, Johnny Chicago?
Everybody knows who Fidencio is. He has the greatest paletas. Uh-huh. He's got so many varieties of
What's
all
he got? What kind does he have?
He's got strawberry, banana, orange, kiwi, pineapple, coconut, mango, jackfruit, honeydew, whatever you guys want. He's even got stuff that is local to our very home of Chicago.
Like what?
He's got the Chicago dog flavor, of course. You can't go wrong with that, right?
Wait, a Chicago dog flavored ice popsicle?
Yeah,
that sounds terrible.
He grinds it up and he mixes it with a paletta, and it's a big seller over here.
What other flavors are unique to you there in Chicago?
He does a good Cubs flavor, the Chicago Cubs flavor. It tastes a little bit like the ivy on the outfield wall at Wrigley.
It's sort of that mixed with tears.
Right.
Yeah, with
heartbreak.
Tears. Well, I was going to get to the Bears flavor. That's where the tears come in.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But no, yeah, Fidencio's a good guy. You know, he's 89 years old. We're trying to help him out. And we just, you know, he's been doing a good service to the community for over 20 years now.
Hey, Johnny, did you donate?
You know, I buy a lot of his palettes, so I did not, I didn't feel the need to donate.
What
I
a
think,
dick!
Because you wanted him to stay out on the street so you could keep buying ice pops.
Yeah, cheap ice pops.
They're good. Here he comes.
Oh,
Fidencio,
oh.
How
is Fidencio wow. there now?
Oh. Yeah, hey, Fidencio, let me get one of them Chicago dog ones, eh? Okay.
Hey, any way we can talk to him?
No,
put Fidencio on the phone.
He's right there, right?
Fidencio, you want to talk to Kevin?
Put him right on the phone.
Put him on the phone.
Put him on the phone.
Hola, hola, ¿cómo estás? Hola.
Fidencio.
Hola, hola.
Do you speak English?
Oh, no English.
Oh.
No, solo. Hello?
Can you do a better accent?
Oh, no, señor. No puedo.
Sorry, Omar. I was going to put you on the spot, man.
Okay.
Get the phone back to Muggs. Okay. I mean Johnny.
Aquí está Johnny.
Okay. Yeah, there was Fidencio right there. Good guy. Good guy. Finally gets to retire with $355,000. And I could use some of that.
If you were a good guy, you would have done the Spanish accent and left Omar off the hook, quite frankly.
I like everybody to participate over here. You know what I'm saying?
It's nice of you. You're a giver.
I'm a giver.
That's what we like about you. Why has it been so long since we've talked to Brad Williams on this program?
Yeah.
What's happening?
Why not? Why don't I just have a little cot right here in the studio where I can just wake up and give my 2 cents every day?
I feel like that's what we need to do. Welcome back, Brad.
Thank you so much for having me back.
How you been?
Be fun. Wonderful. Life's busy. Got a house.
You bought a house.
Yeah, so I'm in debt, so that's why I need people to come out to my shows this weekend.
Oh, man.
I'm in so much debt.
Is it desperation time? Did you have a panic attack where you went, what was I thinking?
I heard your bit. I heard Johnny Chicago talking about the old guy over there, so I need a Kickstarter.
But that guy's 89 and sort of hunched over and having a hard time.
I'm 32. That's 89 in dwarf years.
Okay.
But popsicles.
But okay, well, my people make candy. We can do that.
All right.
Yeah. I can be passing out chocolate. Basically what I'm saying is I'm in debt. So come to my shows this weekend at the Ontario Improv. That's an excuse to come out to the 909 to get to the Get Brad Out of Debt shows.
Brad's going
to
be there Friday night for two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Saturday night for two shows, 7 o'clock and 9:15.
Yeah.
And Sunday night at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
And every single time that you go see him, it'll be a completely different act.
Absolutely.
So if you want to stay for both shows, buy tickets to both shows. That would be good.
Buy tickets for all the shows. Why not?
That'll help.
New Hour.
Brad
every
buy
night.
A house.
Yes.
How did you decide? That this was the time to buy a house.
Oh, because I got one of those girlfriend things, and then she moved in.
That works that way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then we were in my apartment, which is plenty size for me.
Right.
It's a one bedroom, and that's it takes 2 days. Yeah, it takes 2 days to run from one side to the other.
Right.
It's nuts. But then she's got long strides, so yeah, she needed more space. I needed more space. So then now I got a house.
How many bedrooms?
Four.
Four?
Oh, Brad's gonna have babies.
Maybe, but
what the hell is wrong with
me? Don't you feel like
me?
You overshot a bit?
So much!
From a one-bedroom apartment to a four-bedroom house.
And then right after I got it, then I finally watched The Big Short, and I was like, what have I done?
Yeah.
I'm going broke.
Yeah, that's not the best. I mean, it isn't the best idea you've come up with.
No! Yeah. I've had way better ideas. This is not good. Oh, see, this is what happens when you date a hot Asian girl. They just make you do things.
Well, I mean, you could have left off hot and Asian. It's just pretty much girls.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be honest. but a four-bedroom house, she didn't insist on that.
No, she didn't.
Well,
of course,
then you're dumb.
Yeah, I'm very dumb.
All right.
Very dumb. She's like, yeah, two bedrooms and a broom closet. I'm fine with that. And then me's like, I want to show off. So I'm like, four bedrooms.
I don't need two. I could go four.
Four.
Check me out.
Invite all my friends over. But in order for me to afford a four-bedroom house, I think I bought the house in New Mexico. So it's a long commute every day.
So it's no longer Fullerton area?
It's way out. It's way
like
way
on the border of Arizona, California, like Blythe.
It's in Arizona.
Oh, it's in Arizona. Okay.
I'm driving. It took me 12 hours to get here.
I feel like we've just reached a turning point in our relationship with Brad, where now he's going to say that every Thursday he wants to come in to say he's doing some more shows.
Yes, because now I need to pay off this massive debt that I have.
So, you think that dwarves live on nothing. You know, we just give us a little crumb of a cookie every now and then and we're good. But no, we eat actual food, so now I have to afford that. And, yeah, so come out to my shows this weekend, please.
That seems a little scary.
Save me.
Do you have furniture?
Not yet.
Okay, so you have just empty rooms.
Just one bedroom with furniture. Oh, one bedroom. This is the saddest thing I've ever heard.
One bedroom with little furniture in a corner.
Yeah. Oh.
Though, really. And the rest of the room.
Pretty much.
Because I know when I bought a house, it was 90% empty.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
Really?
Yeah, we would have people over and just sit on the floor. Yes, it's just...
you all make horrible decisions.
That's correct. Yeah. Yes, we're saying that's true.
Yeah. Okay. You just sit there, like, when you try to explain to your guests, like, no, it's very rustic. You know, we like to... We're not these guys that just have to buy everything. Not a rapper.
Minimalist.
But we're poor.
Yeah, we have a lot of space. We just like a lot of space. That's all.
No, we're poor.
So, and now you start looking at the cost of beds, which is crazy ridiculous, and the cost of refrigerators, which is crazy ridiculous.
I thought the house came with a fridge. And then you show up, it's like, nope, your food's going to...
Did you ever see the house before you bought it? Or was this like an online scam thing?
Craigslist.
Craigslist.
Wait. Here's how I got the house. Okay. A Nigerian prince sent me an email.
That's all I need to hear. You're good. You're all good.
And now I got a house.
Was it scary? Because that's really sort of a I'm growing up thing.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're sort of an adult.
I don't like it.
You sort of have to act like one.
How dare you?
A certain amount of time. I mean, let's be honest.
No.
Not
never,
the whole time.
Never.
How's the comedy stand-up going? You still touring around the country a lot?
Yeah. What is it? Now I got like an idiot. I planned all this time off, and then great time to get a house when you're not working.
What do you mean you planned time off?
I was a little burnt out, so okay. I decided to take some time off.
You did your second Showtime special,
yeah,
and then you're like, all right, I need a break.
Yeah, okay. I need a little break, and then I get a tweet from NASCAR driver Tony Stewart.
I saw your Instagram from there.
Yeah.
What was happening?
Tony Stewart saw my special and is a fan of mine. So he said, hey, you want to come out and see a NASCAR race? I'm in Virginia. And I go, well, that's a good excuse today to go to Virginia. And Tony was in California. So we flew on his jet.
What's happening
to Virginia
right now?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. The only scary part is that Tony actually flew the jet. He's a NASCAR driver, and now he got his pilot's license. So now he's flying the jet, and right before we land in Virginia, he calls me up to the cockpit, and he goes, all right, watch this. I'm going to Evel Knievel it.
That Evel Knievel crashed
every
time.
He broke every bone in his body. That was horrifying.
That is not what you want to hear from your pilot.
No. That's like someone saying, hey, I'm about to take the SATs. Watch this. I'm going to Kevin it. No!
How dare you?
That's not the thing you want to hear. So what he did is he landed on the jet on the back wheels and then didn't put the front wheel down. So he, like, did a wheelie.
So he was doing a wheelie down the runway.
On a jet. It was insane.
Were you saying, please land, please land, please land? What are you doing? I'm not comfortable with this.
I was like, this is like Buddy Holly air. This is not going to go well. Timely reference.
That's a good recall. I like it.
Yeah. So, I got to sit.
It looked like you were right in the pit.
I was. I was on his pit crew. Like, I had, like, I was sitting on top of the pit crew, and that was my view.
I don't watch NASCAR a lot, but man, oh man, when you watch the pit crew right up close, how much they accomplish in, say, 7 seconds?
12 seconds.
12 seconds.
12 seconds is the average pit stop to change all four tires, put gas in the car, and replace the little spearmint tree that hangs from the thing.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see.
I should have known what that was before I started talking about it.
The little fragrance.
The spearmint tree? What the hell is wrong with me? See, I'm too thinking about my debt. I can't make common references anymore.
They have to replace that.
What the hell is a spearmint tree? That sounds like the worst strip club ever.
Yeah, it doesn't sound good. So now are you buddies with him?
Yeah, I'm friends with Tony Stewart. Maybe he could get me out of debt.
So now are you traveling around the country with him again?
He's going to come out. I'm doing shows in Indianapolis in December. That's where he has one house. So he'll be there for that
one. What has happened? How did he get in touch with you? Twitter?
Just Twitter. That's
just
the
said,
magic.
Hey, I saw your special and I enjoyed it.
Ew,
liked it.
He slid into his DMs. That's so creepy.
Wait, now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Wait, was I supposed to put out on that trip?
Saying.
again.
I mean,
oh darn!
I would expect if he flew his own plane and did a wheelie for you on the landing. For God's sake,
he was trying to impress me.
Yes.
Oh my God! Wait, did I meet him on Twitter or Grindr?
I'm not positive.
I'm not sure.
You told us. So now you can call him right now.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I can call up. I can call up Tony Stewart, and we can talk. He's a good dude, man.
But I think that's
debatable for some people.
Well, yes, I'm sure a couple people don't like him too much. But
rest in peace.
Yeah, but yeah,
I don't know what you're talking about. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah,
we'll fill you in.
Is it best just to move on?
Yeah, probably.
Pretty much, I want this friendship to continue.
Okay, good. No problem. We'll take a break. Comedian Brad Williams is here again. He is at the Ontario Improv. 5 shows this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we'll be right back. Brad Williams is here at 7:35. He's at the Ontario Improv for 5 shows this weekend. He's also in a little movie that I can't wait for called Mascots.
Yeah.
Please tell us about this. Now, I remember when you came in, the first time Brad came in and told us about this, he's like, don't say a word. I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to jinx anything.
Right. But now it's confirmed. I'm actually in the movie. I did not get cut out of the movie.
Have you seen the final cut?
I have not. I see it for the first time in 2 weeks.
When you find out you've been cut?
Yes.
Well, he's in the trailer, so at least you're in the trailer.
Yeah, I'm in the trailer. So it's fine. You can watch the trailer on YouTube. This is, for those of you who aren't familiar with Christopher Guest movies, it's...
Shame on you, first of all.
Yeah. First of all, how dare you. Secondly, they're improvised movies. Like, when I would do my scenes, we would have kind of an end goal. We'd be like, all right, by the end of this scene, you have to say, like, you have to do this or be here. And then it's just action. Go. And I had a scene with the great Fred Willard, Just Me and Him. And it's all about the behind-the-scenes world of mascotting, which everyone's curious about, obviously.
Sure.
And I play a mascot called the Worm.
Great.
And just so you know.
For what sport? What team? What?
Just mascots.
Just mascots.
Just mascots in general. Kind of like how we used to
have. Not tied to any team of any sport?
I'm assuming the Worms.
It's a secondary story, Kevin. Okay. It's about the actual people in the suits.
So it's not important. Okay.
Kevin's sitting there like,
Kevin wants a deep dive.
I don't know.
What's the standings?
I want to know if your team's ahead, behind. I don't know.
It might change things for you. Yeah,
I have a clip of you talking with Fred Willard.
Oh, go for it.
Yeah, okay. So this is from the trailer, I think. Yeah, mascot.
Did they make you this size just to fit in the Worm costume?
No, they made me this size when I was born.
I see. I thought maybe they shrunk you down or something.
No, it's not like that.
Just tell me everything. This fascinates the hell out of me.
Christopher Guest is a different type of movie because a lot of times you'll hear a movie is improv, and that means it's not always good. But Christopher Guest, almost just everything he's done. Best in Show.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen that, he makes fun of those ridiculous dog shows at the Westminster Dog.
Yeah. Waiting for Guffman's my
Waiting
all-time
for Guffman
favorite.
Is great.
Yes, and his character, you briefly saw him in the trailer, but his character from Waiting for Guffman makes a cameo in Mascots.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Now, how did you...
Allie, I've never seen you make that face before.
I love him so much.
Oh, my God.
So how did you get involved in the movie again?
They called out for an audition. They needed a little person, and there's only like 7 of us in Hollywood. So
how many are there really?
12.
12.
That's 12 of us.
You see, that's pretty good odds.
Yeah, so I have a 1 in 12 shot. Like you think it's good odds, but then just understand this. Whenever you see a dwarf part, that I'm not, that means I lost one of the 11.
Well, that makes it a lot more sad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Did you have to do the Worm?
That's how I got the part.
Yes.
I got the part, and in the audition was an improvised audition. They just say, your character's the Worm.
Okay.
Go.
You're like, I got this.
That's all they gave you.
Yeah. That's all they gave you, and they said, just start talking as this character. And in the audition, I started doing the dance move, the Worm.
I'm gonna have to Snapchat that a little bit later.
Yeah.
That's okay.
In the room, they're like, well, we've got it.
Done.
Good night.
Yeah. Like, sweet.
You
did a better Worm than any other small person.
I mean,
that's great.
That's not saying much.
That's great. Hey, you got the part, right? That means 11 other people lost.
You did the Worm better than any dwarf.
I mean, that's great, though.
Right?
USA! USA! You did the Worm better than any dwarf. That's not a huge accomplishment, Kevin.
Are you in the movie?
Yes.
Are the other 11 in the movie?
No.
Then it's an accomplishment.
Okay, thank you.
Well done. Now tell me about Jane Lynch and Parker Posey and all Ed Jr., everybody else that was in the movie.
They're all there. Jane Lynch was, oh my God, she's so talented, so funny. She plays sort of a judge of the mascotting competition, mm-hmm. who in her past like wrote a book about mascotting and is like sort of like this guru about mascotting.
Everybody goes to her if they needed an expert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, you saw Fred Willard in the trailer, Ed Begley Jr., Zach from Silicon Valley, Zach Woods.
Zach Woods,
yes. Yeah, he's in it. So funny. It's just like it's a cavalcade of riches in this movie, and it's available on Netflix October 13th. And yeah, I'm so excited.
Did you hang out? Did you get to hang out on the set and watch other people work?
Yeah. And it was like to see Fred Willard, first of all, as old as he is, still with it. He's still sharp, still so funny. And like my scene was with him, so the fact that I'm like improvising with a legend, it's like, oh, I gotta step my game up. I gotta do well.
Was there a point where everybody was watching and the cameras were rolling? And mm-hmm. you screwed it up. You're like, oh, no. Cut, we got to redo it. You know, did that happen with you?
I mean, the thing is with improvising is even when you mess up, and here's the beauty of doing a scene with a guy like Fred Willard, is you can't mess up. Because even if you say something that's really weird, he'll spin that crap into gold.
He'll take it and make it funny no matter what it is.
Yeah, so... And
so that never happened to you one time?
Because
that's my biggest fear is everybody's watching me, and of course I can't even speak, so if that happened, I would be petrified.
Yeah, well, there was one scene where I had to do something with a mascot that's called the Fist.
Oh, dear. Brad, it's a family show.
Can we explain what that is on the air, knowing the rules?
Yes.
Okay. What did you and the Fist do?
Well, wait.
If I had a dollar for every time Kevin asked that.
Right?
Happened with you and the Fist?
Do you have the sexy music?
I do, actually. Yes.
Okay.
I do.
All right. So here I will set the stage.
You want this or you want porn?
Oh, with the Fist? Come on. There you go. So it's me and the Fist. We're in a dark hallway, and the Fist doesn't want the worm in the competition.
Right.
So what
this sounds more like People's Court.
So what the Fist does...
Judge Judy will be right back.
So what the Fist throws the worm into a laundry hamper and gets the worm stuck in the laundry hamper.
And then...
And he's so dirty in there.
Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to help you.
Yeah, covered in filth. Anyway, so that was a stunt, and all the other guys had stunt people, but I couldn't have a stunt man because...
Why? There's 11 other dwarfs that aren't working.
Well, here's the thing. They brought out a stunt man. They're like, here's your stunt guy, and it was like this 56-year-old little person who's walking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, and I'm like, I can't let him do the stunt. You can't let the old man get tossed around.
No, no, no. You feel badly, but you took work away from him.
Yeah, you're a dick, bud.
I added months to him to his life.
Did you?
Months.
Did you take months, months off of your life?
Probably. Because there was one where they tried to toss you in the laundry hamper, and oh my God, did they miss. Oh.
How many times did you have to shoot that scene?
Oh, like five or six.
Oh, man.
And then just, they missed like three times.
They missed the whole laundry shoes?
Yeah, but I'm like in a giant worm outfit, so it's okay. I had a lot of padding.
Wow. Your life is so much different than ours.
Yeah, and the whole thing is that because I was like, I had the mascot head on, so you don't even know it's me doing the stunt. Like, because I had to be in full costume.
Right.
Yeah, so...
So it could very well have been a stunt person.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to get credit for it.
You're sort of dumb. To be honest.
Wow.
You had the opportunity.
Pot meat kettle. Thanks for that, Kevin. I feel fantastic now.
The movie is called Mascots. It's on Netflix October 13th. And again, Brad is going to be at the Ontario Improv for five shows this weekend. Friday night, two shows, 7:30 and 9:45. Saturday, 7 p.m. and 9:15. And Sunday at 7 p.m.
Yeah, and these are the Get Brad Out of Debt shows.
Have you come up with all new material since your last Showtime special?
I think
it was Showtime.
Since the last Showtime special aired, it's about 90% new.
Wow.
So yeah, it's been less than a year. It's weird when you do. I've done two Showtime specials in 2 years, and I still have fans going like, "When's the next one coming out?" It's like, pump the brakes.
Give me a second.
Hold on.
There was a time when they, you know, when comedians wouldn't put their stuff up, and there was no YouTube, and there was, and they could do the same act for their entire life.
Jerry Seinfeld did an HBO special called "I'm Telling You for the Last Time," and it was this huge. huge deal because he was retiring all his material that he used for 20 years.
Our audience is
like now
getting...
it's like every year. Come on, crank out a new one.
Our audience is getting worse at that.
Heard it. Yeah,
really? I mean, do they get...
But yeah, they're like, well, we saw you here, like, there was one guy who came to see me, and then, like, he drove, like, 4 hours to see me in another town, and he's like, it was like 50% of the same stuff. It's like, yeah, you saw me 2 weeks ago! What do you think? I'm just going to write a whole new... It's like, just write a whole new act?
I assume people don't know how much work that is. To come up with it, up with 1 hour of comedy takes you how long? I mean, a year or two?
Right now, it takes me about a year and a half, 2 years. But also, the thing is now you write a joke and then you do the special. I have added things to jokes that aired in the special, so it's like DVD commentary. Like
you sort of start the joke and then you move on way past what people have already seen.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you get like, yeah. So you get like bonus stuff, but if you see my specials, you're not going to get those same hours. It's fine. Don't think it's going to be the same thing. Come on out to Ontario Improv and get me out of debt. I just bought a house. Why the hell did I do this? I outkicked my coverage. Bought a house that's way too big.
Four bedrooms.
For a little person. How many bedrooms do I need?
Look, I'm not the one that made the decision to buy a house with four rooms.
Why are you mad at us?
Yeah, don't yell at us.
That's true.
It's on you. Brad Williams, Ontario Improv, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Brad, it's always great to have you in here. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:55.
Painful guitar face.
Ralph's guitar face.
Everybody has a painful guitar face.
Yours is terrifying.
Yeah, right?
Every face Ralph has.
I shred, that's why.
Jim Rome on sports in just a minute. Right now, it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here is Ralph Garman.
Ali, are you okay? I just want to check on you. I want to...
What's wrong?
Take your temperature.
Yeah, why? I
Maybe
feel
rectally.
Fine.
I don't know. What? See how you're feeling.
I mean, I'm into that if that's
Adele.
What you're offering. Oh,
Adele.
No.
Adele has announced this... international tour that she's been on?
Uh-huh.
This will be her last tour for 10 years. She will not tour again for the next 10 years.
But
does that tour involve her coming through Southern California in this tour again? Or is she done? Ali doesn't have any other chances to see her.
No, this is...
Return to Southern California? No?
This is it.
All right.
This is it. When I say this is it...
I don't like saying this is it.
This is it. I mean, this is really it. This is the final curtain call. When I say this is it, it really means this is it.
It means this is it.
I don't like correlating those two tours.
This is it. She is quitting touring because she wants to focus on raising her 3-year-old son, Angelo. Hey, Angelo, how come you make your mama no more tour? Why don't you get your own job and leave a lady alone so she sing on nice hellos?
Oh.
Angelo's my number one priority, she said. So
she's a bitch.
You all lose. You'll never see her live again unless you pay me $1 million.
Right? It's going to be some kid's bat mitzvah. And she's like, all right. That sounds good.
However, there is an upside. There is a possible. There may be a silver lining to this cloud.
Okay.
She is said to be considering a lucrative Las Vegas residency somewhere down the line.
That makes perfect sense.
That does make perfect sense.
That way she could spend all her time with her kids. She wouldn't have to travel, yada, yada. But she could also still perform and entertain her fans on a regular basis.
And she bought a home here, so it makes sense if the kid's in school, she would only fly out on weekends to Vegas.
Right.
Like a lot of us do for work. Am I right, ladies? That's great news.
So there may be that.
Thank you for that silver lining.
You're welcome, because I didn't want you to take your own life or anything like that.
I love Adele, but that's extreme.
So happy about this news. You know how I feel about Liev Schreiber. Just one of my favorites. Star, of course, of Ray Donovan. He has directed and starred in a film called The Bleeder, which has been making the circuit at some of the festivals, but had not had distribution up until this week. We just found out that The Bleeder has been picked up by IFC Films. And so we will get a theatrical release next spring. We have to wait till spring of 2017, but we will see the film. And then Showtime apparently will have exclusive rights on cable. So we will see this film, which I've been looking forward to since I heard about its inception, and now I'm desperately trying to see it. I've got to wait a little bit, but The Bleeder is about Chuck Wepner, legendary film about Chuck Wepner.
Oh, yeah, People's Court.
Nope, that's Judge Wepner.
Same thing.
Nope, it's not the same thing.
Okay.
Chuck Wepner.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
No, oh. Chuck Wepner was the legendary.
He is the founder of ISIS.
No, he's
the founder
not, of he's ISIS. Not the founder of ISIS. He was a legendary boxer who went 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali when he's supposed to have no shot whatsoever.
Right.
A club fighter out of Bayonne, New Jersey, who got into the ring with Muhammad Ali, got his ass beat, but never
gave up.
Never gave
if
up.
If you're talking about boxing, you do not want to be known as the bleeder.
Well, he had
that's rough.
He had paper-thin skin, and every fight he got into, he would just, well, as you can imagine, bleed. He was known as the Bayonne Bleeder, Chuck Wepner, and there was a young Italian lad named Sylvester Stallone who watched that particular fight and said, you know, this is a pretty good movie about a guy, you know, who's not supposed to be in the same class as this other guy, but he doesn't give up, you know, he keeps fighting. And then he's going to fight up, and then you'll fight the fight. And then Sylvester Stallone went on to write Rocky based on the Chuck Wepner story. And in this movie, The Bleeder, Liev Schreiber plays Chuck Wepner, and there is a scene where he encounters Sylvester Stallone, and they talk about the situation and stuff.
I need this movie now.
That's what I'm saying. I've been dying to see it since I heard he was working on it, and now apparently it's really great, and we're going to have to wait a while to see it. But
remember when we interviewed him, Ralph?
I do remember
that.
Remember
the Liev times?
That was a good day.
What?
It was a good day. It was very intimidating at first.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, good morning, Liev. How are you?
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, it's going to be one of those. And then he just became the most charming, funny, lovely man alive.
I miss him.
I miss him, too.
He's not dead, you guys.
Oh. I know, but I want to believe it. This Sunday,
Ray
Donovan finale, by the way, if you're a fan. I don't know how they're going to do it. But
Avi did not look good.
He did not. He looked like the Bayonne Bleeder. He's like, I saw Ezra. I thought Ezra came to me and he said, life is beautiful. I'm like, what is wrong with you? Today's celebrity birthdays. Tommy Lee Jones is 70 years old today. Director Oliver Stone is 70 as well. Tom Hardy, one of our favorite actors around here, turns 39. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thursdays, at this time, we check in with our good friend Jim Rome. JimRome.com is the website, at Jim Rome on Twitter. And he's also got the podcast, Jim Rome's Daily Jungle, where you can get it at JimRome.com, play.it, and iTunes. Jim, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you today, sir?
Wake up. I need to make money. What's up? What's up? Thank you for the awesome intro, as always, Kevin.
No worries. Let's start with the Rams, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all. Let's do that.
Are they as bad as they looked this past Sunday night because I was Monday. I was so unbelievably bored watching that game.
No, they're not as bad as they looked. They're even worse, I think.
Oh, no.
Disaster.
Really?
They might be. It's going to get worse because now Seattle's coming in. Not very many people thought very much of the Niners, and now you've got Pete Carroll and the Seahawks coming in to punch them in the face, so it's going to get worse before it gets better. But, guys, let's not focus on the football aspect. Let's focus on the Hollywood angle.
Okay.
Right prior to that game, you had Ryan Seacrest rocking their gear on social media. You had the dad from Modern Family all geeked up. Even that gal from Two Broke Girls posted a photo of her and her fake Jeff Fisher stash. Then Monday happened, and everybody piled on, even Kevin Federline.
What?
Remember that dude?
The guy that used ex-boyfriend?
To be married to Britney Spears?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Britney Spears' ex. He went ham on the Rams. He retweeted a picture of a stadium with a toilet lid photoshopped on top with the caption, the 2016 home of the LA Rams. Dude, straight fire. Hey, K-Fed, or as my listeners have glossed him, well-fed. Well-fed going ham or slamming copious amounts of ham. Either way, they just got murdered by an F-lister. To answer your question, it was that bad. It's going to get worse.
Wow. Are they going to move up the timeline for Goff then? To start
they should. They should. Look, you guys know how this town works. It's a star-driven town, and considering what they gave up to draft him and how well some other rookies are playing, you might want to put the first pick overall in the draft in Jared Goff. That'd be pretty cool. But if he wasn't ready for the Niners, you know he's not ready for the Seahawks.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Put him in.
Anyway.
Did you know that?
Let's see what. Oh, yes, Allie.
I was going to say, Allie. Did you know that the LA Rams have not scored since Christmas Eve 1994?
Hey-o!
Right? Why can't I have an explosion?
Well, because they were.
Straight fire, Allie. Give it to her. Allie, do another one. Do another one, Allie.
That didn't Why can't I have an explosion?
That didn't sound like it was earned.
It wasn't.
I don't know, Ellie. Why can't you have an explosion?
Yeah.
Straight fire. Ducks, Allie.
All right, speaking of the NFL, let's continue with Jim Harbaugh.
Why can't I have an explosion? I don't know, Allie. Why can't you?
Shut up, Jim.
It's a personal problem. Let's talk about Jim Harbaugh eating boogers. Now, what's your take? What's your take on this, Jim?
You are what you eat.
If you if you watch the video, I mean, he does go straight nose to mouth. Right?
Hey, look, like I said, you are what you eat. I've got no take on this guy. You know, he and I have already had our beef, and if dude wants to eat boogers in front of cameras, that's his prerogative, you know?
Right? But he comes out and denies it.
I eat eggs for breakfast. He eats boogers. There's no denying. The tape does not lie. The tape does not lie. The booger does not lie. But let's not pile on this guy anymore. He's got enough issues.
All right. Let's go to Vin Scully then in baseball.
Booger eater.
Let's talk about baseball with Vin Scully. He's going to retire at the end of the season. He's not going to do any postseason games. And,
bro, stop dragging me down to your level. Stop dragging me down to your level, bro. Come on now.
What are you talking about?
I'm just playing. I'm just kidding.
Vin Scully.
Let's talk Vin Scully.
Here's the thing. I hate baseball. Hate it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Having said that, when Vin Scully's calling a game on the radio, I'll listen because he is amazing to
me. He's a national treasure.
He is a national treasure. He is bigger than baseball. He's the most famous Dodger of all time. And the reason we're talking about him is he's announced that he's not going to call postseason games. So his last game ever will be the Dodgers' final game of the regular season, October 2nd in San Francisco. Seems kind of weird, right? I mean, what if they go to the World Series? What if they win the World Series? Vin's not going to be there. It seems kind of weird, and you might ask, why is he doing this? But the same reason anybody does anything, because he can. He's Vin freaking Scully. He's the GOAT. And if that's the way he wants to go out, I've got no issue with it at all.
Yeah, I think he's earned when he says he's done.
Yeah, well, agreed.
He's broadcasted for the Dodgers, guys, 67 years.
Oh, my God.
67 years.
Yeah.
So that means we've all got 2 weeks left of the greatest sports broadcaster ever, so we got to soak it all up because we will never see his kind ever again.
I got to say, you know, for the last, I don't know, 5, 7, 8 years, every single season it's like, okay, is Vin coming back? Vin coming back? I mean, everybody's sort of been afraid of this day because he's so great, but he does deserve it. I mean, he can go out the way he wants.
No, I think he nailed it. I think that's why he doesn't want to do it in the postseason, because then it's like, is this his last game? Is that going to be his last game? This is pretty clean. What he's saying is, this really is my last game. So now we all know, let's be ready for it. And then that's that. I think it's pretty clean, actually.
Yeah.
Well, he's the best that ever lived, so he's going to be missed.
Let me ask you something. Do you have time for this? Do you really hate baseball? Because I'm going to give you a reason to like baseball.
I hate baseball.
All right, so there's this guy, Wally Backman. He used to play for the Mets. He was their AAA manager, but they just announced that he will not be back next year. Now, you may or may not know this guy, but you will love baseball after you hear this.
Okay.
When I think about this guy, I think about one of the greatest baseball meltdowns ever caught on tape. Listen to this. This is him and a man or an umpire a couple of years ago getting after it.
Stupid f***ing idiot. Talk you.
You don't want
to
you.
F*** you.
I
know, f*** you. You don't want to be out here. Oh, what the f*** are you going to do about it? Huh? What the f*** are you going to do, huh?
You can't think.
No, you're a stupid f*** piece of
That's right.
F***ing piece of
I got plenty of ache in the
piece of is what you are. Minor league mother what you are.
All right, now, Kevin, was that Wally Backman arguing with an umpire, or was that you freaking out when you found out that Bean was not going to work again today?
Jim, if you could guarantee me that every game, I would watch baseball.
Have you ever heard so many and POS bombs in your life?
No, that's the best audio I've ever heard.
And notice the difference, right, between my show and your show. I bleeped all those out. You guys would not have done anything to that tape. That would have been another Thursday morning on your program.
Well, that is the best tape I've ever... Well, I don't know if it's the best tape I've ever heard, or maybe Kevin Harlan calling the guy that ran on the field at the Rams game. Can I play that?
Please do.
Mind?
Somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat. And a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk. But there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
They're coming
the blue
from the
coat.
Left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
The guy is drunk, and there he goes. Might be the best line ever.
I also love that
he's drunk.
That's so great.
I also love that he was giving, like, he's at the 40, he's at the 30.
Greatest call.
Like, the end zone is the you know, finish line. There's no finish line for that guy. He's just going to run around in circles.
He's at the 40, he's at the 50, he's at the 60, he's at the 70. He's out in the street.
I love that jail so much.
That guy is drunk. Look at him go. That's the best.
I love that so much. I love Wally Backman so much. Those are my two favorites right now. Jim Rome joins us every Thursday at Jim Rome on Twitter. JimRome.com is the website, and Jim Rome's Daily Jungle is the podcast at JimRome.com. Play it. It and iTunes. We always love having you on the show. Jim, thank you for your time.
Y'all are straight fire. See you next week.
Middle of September. That's when college students go back, and a lot of incoming freshmen have to face that fresh hell, which is who's my roommate? What are they going to be like? And there's a story that came out of UCLA. From Winnie Chin, who was 17 years old, and she was going to have two different roommates. The one named Ashley started out just kind of explaining to everybody exactly what was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And Winnie put it up on Twitter and on Instagram. Okay, Ashley says, so I'm not sure why neither of you have responded back to my emails, but I don't really care. Just as long as you both know this and understand that I'm not going to settle for anything less than what I'm going to tell you and I'm going to get once I arrive at the dorm. That this is first impression time.
Right.
How is it possible that somebody's already that uptight?
Yeah, this Ashley has some issues for sure.
I'll take the top bunk of the bunk bed that has a bottom and top bunk. Do not want the single bunk where it has a desk underneath and a top bunk. So don't try to leave me with that. I'm also taking one of the white closets. There should be two white closets, and I'm taking one of them. I don't care which one. Just so you know, I'm taking one of them. I want the desk that's next to the window. Plain and simple. I don't care about who gets the bottom bunk, but just know, and then she goes back into that whole thing.
Wow.
Sorry, but not that sorry for the attitude. I don't like being ignored, and that's just rude. So she sent an email with all kinds of demands. And then Winnie put them all up on Twitter and Instagram for everybody to see. And she just seems like a crazy nightmare of a roommate.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. It gets worse when she then says, listen, I'm a ticking time bomb.
She said that how many times? Like three, four times?
How do you say that in an email? I'm just letting you know I'm a ticking time bomb. What?
If somebody uses the words ticking time bomb, it's time to move on.
I am not sharing a room with that.
Change roommates.
Lady.
Yeah. So you had the sort of the same, and then we'll take some calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. Roommates from hell is the topic. Yes, Allie.
I had one roommate one year that was a delight, and I thought, oh, she's so quiet, she's going to be great. And she said to me, I'm a virgin. I've never smoked. I've never drank. This is all so new to me being in college. She had very protective parents, and 2 days later.
Wait, hold on, before the 2 days later.
Yeah.
So was that a good sign or a bad sign or neither to you?
It was more on the good side because I knew she'd be quiet. She wouldn't be, you know, party girl.
Right.
You know, you're new to college. You don't want it being that crazy right away.
Right.
But 2 days later, she had done all those things.
Yeah! Yeah!
The kids love it.
The kids do love that.
Kids love it. Yeah, she she had sex. She smoked weed, and she got wasted on wine coolers.
Wow.
So, yeah, she
Did
was.
Did you say wine coolers?
Wine coolers. Yeah, Bartles and James. Look them up. So she was hysterical, and I wish I knew how good I had it, because the next year, I was in a suite. So
she was a better one than the next year?
Oh, no. Oh. I had a suite, so there were four of us. And let's just say that one of the girls, Lisa, didn't get along with another one of the girls. We'll call her Emily.
Okay.
Because those are their names. But by day two, she had said, I don't know if you know this, but I'm Lisa Caputo from the Rhode Island Caputos. And I'm like, is that like a mob threat? What's happening right now? Rhode Island Caputos? I didn't know. But she's like, just so you know, you don't want to start nothing you can't finish type of thing. She wound up punching Emily in the face. And she was removed from the dorm. And we had what I remember as an armed guard outside of our door. Ralph questions that. In my head, you know, 18, I thought it was an armed guard.
Sure,
it was probably
of course.
Just a rent-a-cop. But that was concerning.
That's crazy.
Yes.
Because you would think most people, when you start college, your freshman year of college, you're scared. You're not quite sure where everything is. You're not quite sure where your classes are. And you want to
put your best foot forward. Who starts?
You would think.
Who starts into it with the, with I'm a ticking time bomb? I mean, that's just, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So we're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067, roommates from hell. We're going to start with Lisa in Manhattan Beach. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi. Roommates from hell. You had one?
Yes, I did. It was my freshman year in 1998.
Is this Lisa Caputo from the Rhode Island Caputos?
No.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be funny if she had tracked you down?
No, it's not.
I'm back. All right, Lisa, what happened to you?
Okay, so it was 1998, freshman year. We had, like, a suite, so there were, like, five of us in an apartment type thing. And this girl from Utah, like, 2 weeks into the school year, she wasn't already going to class. She was kind of a flake anyway. She invited her boyfriend and his friend to come live with us without asking us.
Oh, no.
So to live in the suite that you were in?
Yes, to come live with us. Didn't ask us about it. And they take the Greyhound from Salt Lake to L.A., come show up, live with us. They are a nightmare. One of the guys is sleeping on my bedroom floor. Then they're having her, the girl and her boyfriend are having sex out on the balcony, in the shower. We walked the heat on them in the living room.
Lisa, how long did this go on?
For about a week. And then we tried to have like a roommate meeting, and that didn't go well. And then had the obvious. Oh, and then the dean found out about them having sex out on the balcony because the neighbors were calling.
Right.
And we all got in trouble for it, but we had to throw her under the bus. And then her parents got called, came from Salt Lake, packed. We had to help her parents pack up her stuff.
Wow.
And
but you had to be really happy about helping to pack up that girl's stuff.
Oh, yeah, but it was super awkward. Like, we found her dildo and her...
Oh, no! Like,
all this awkward, awful stuff, and had to, like, hand it over to her parents. Then they shipped her back to Utah.
Oh, my God. They boxed her up and shipped her? That's a terrible way to travel.
Yeah, it's cheaper that way.
It is. All right, thank you for the call, Lisa. We appreciate it. 1-800-520-1067. Christian, Sam, Johnny, everybody else, you hold on. We'll get to you in a second on K-Rox. We're talking about roommates from hell as people are heading back to college. And Winnie Chen, who is 17 years old at UCLA, had she pretty much roomed with Satan. Who knew?
Yeah, she wasn't nice.
No. What's that mom saying?
We got a tweet from, oh, Vicky Marie. Apparently her daughter texted her last night and said, one of my suite mates just asked me if I was okay with her pooping while I showered. Oh.
Wow. Well,
here's the thing. And I get it because I had a apartment and there were five of us, one bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
When you got to go, you got to go.
Right.
And if someone's in the shower, sometimes it has to happen. I wouldn't make it, you know, something that you're constantly doing or looking forward to. Oh, you're showering? Time to poop.
Also, I'm not positive that you want to run that by anyone.
No. Absolutely not.
If you
not.
Don't have a choice, you do what you have to do, but don't try and get a heads up.
But I feel like that problem is nothing compared to some of these people in the
phone. Man, oh, man. This is crazy what some of the people had to deal with. Nathan in Torrance is first up now. Hi, Nathan. Welcome to the Kevin and Beach Show.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Allie. How's it going?
Good. Hey. Roommates from hell. What happened to you?
Well, it started my freshman year in college. The guy that I got paired up with was about 7 years older than me. So, you know, he'd buy beer and we'd drink and hang out. And his girlfriend kind of came, you know, part and parcel with the deal. And when they would fight, his girlfriend would come and crawl into my bed and lay there with me.
Go on.
Complaining about him. And eventually it really kind of disintegrated when we found out he was growing magic mushrooms in his closet and doing acid every single day. He got picked up by the cops, and we got freaked out that we were going to get raided. So when that all thing fell apart, we formed a house with four bedrooms, and over the course of about 5 years, we had 17 different roommates that really just ran the gamut of all different kinds of people. We had one guy who was...
Who's the common thread going through all of this?
I'm thinking, yeah. What's Nathan. That?
I said, who's the common thread in each of these stories?
It was me. I was actually the sane one.
You were? Okay, good.
I tried to rein it in. We called it the House of No Drama, and it was everything but no drama.
Yeah. So good work, I guess. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's move on to Sam in Studio City.
Sam.
Hi, Sam.
How's it going, guys? Big fan of the show.
Thank you. It's going well. It doesn't seem like your roommate worked out all that well.
thankfully, I'm not with this person anymore, but I was a freshman in college and just, like, super innocent. And I was on the soccer team, and I got paired up with another soccer guy who had been at the school for a while. And for some reason, he would whip out his wiener a lot around me.
Now, wait, hold on. You say whip out, or did he just, he just didn't care if he was wearing clothes or not?
Oh, no. He was wearing clothes, and then he'd whip it out.
Okay.
Yeah. Was he trying to make you uncomfortable or trying to see if you were into it?
You know, I think he was just trying to make me uncomfortable because he was with girls. Like, I don't think it was, like, trying to come on to me. Mm. But it happened so much to the point where, like, it made me feel super uncomfortable from the beginning.
Yeah, you don't want your roommate's wiener in your face all the time.
Oh, I'd be, like, on the couch, like, eating dinner, and it would just be, like, there next to me, like, waiting for me to check. Get it away from me.
Yeah, I think get it away from me is the message there. Wow, he must have been rooming with Mike Catherwood. All right, let's go to Jesus in Anaheim. Hi, Jesus.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. Roommates from hell?
So I transferred to UC Santa Cruz back in 07.
Okay.
Banana slugs.
And I got there before my roommate. Needless to say, I helped him move in, and, you know, he seemed like a cool person, you know, or, like, weird enough for UC Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I was like, all right. First night, right away, I was trying to go to sleep, he uttered the words, so let's talk about our, you know, masturbating schedule.
Wait.
He had a schedule, so he wanted you to maybe be out of the room type of thing?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I thought, like, I, from what I understood, he wanted to know when I wanted to do it versus when he wanted to do it. So we were not, I guess, doing it at the same time.
So you pulled out your calendar and you said,
listen, I've got 2, 4, and 6 on Tuesday and Thursday.
I honestly pretended to be asleep. So I was just like, okay, screw this. Like, I'll just see what happened. And then the next night, because we had our own private suite, our own private bathroom. Uh-huh. He would take showers with the door open as well. So I was just like, is this code for, is this your schedule? Like, I have no idea what the hell he was doing in there. But
right.
He moved out after a week. And the reason I got from the housing department was because I was too uptight.
That's fantastic.
You're too uptight.
Yep.
What about the next person that you roomed with? Did you have the same problem? Because maybe you were too uptight.
Actually, well, I mean, I guess I was because I never got another roommate.
Oh, you win, Jesus.
Wow. That's not bad. Yeah, well done. Thank you for the call. Man, oh, man. Let's go to Erica in Sherman Oaks. This is something. Hey, Erica.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Good morning.
We are doing well. Roommates from hell is what we're talking about.
Well, my roommate, I met her in my second year of college when I was moving out of the dorms. We said, okay, she's nice, she's sweet, you know, whatever. Let's move in together. So we got an apartment. This is back in Boston. And I'm with my boyfriend watching TV, and little by little, I started realizing that my underwear kept missing. Like, I was having fewer and fewer underwear. And she comes out of her room with her underwear on, and just her underwear, that's it.
And a t-shirt.
And she goes, can I order something, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And then I realized that she was wearing my underwear. And I was like, dude, are those yours? And she's like, oh, and this girl used to sleep with anything that's free. Like, she was a slut. And I'm like, that might? And she's like, oh, they're yours? I didn't know whose they were. And I was like, well, why would you wear them?
Aren't there only the two of you?
Yeah.
So they're like, either yours or hers.
Exactly. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? Anyway, I let that buy. I was like, please don't wear my underwear. And maybe, like,
what are you, uptight?
No, I'm not. But my parents are. So 3 months later, she decides to drop out of college, so she says, I'm moving out. It's like, okay, just so you know, my parents will not help me with my rent if I'm living with a guy, because they're very conservative. Don't live with a guy until you get married, so it has to be a girl. I don't care. And I have to meet her first. 1 week after she was supposed to move out, she tells me, so I found this guy on Craigslist. He's like 62 or 54 or something like that.
Wow.
And
what could go wrong?
And I was like, are you serious? Are you out of your mind? Like, do you even know? No, I don't. You don't know. And I'm like, dude, this is dangerous. So I said, absolutely not. And I got the landlord involved. And when I got the landlord involved and I said, this is happening, I don't know what to do,
her mom called me and she said, "This is America, sweetheart. We do not discriminate by gender." And she sued me for gender discrimination.
She sued you. What?
Yes. And I mean, needless to say, I had a great lawyer. And 2 weeks later, she moved out. And
this is the worst.
My same school from Argentina ended up moving in, and she was awesome.
Wow.
Wow. Did you get your underwear back?
No, I didn't.
She didn't want it back.
For the best. Probably for the best.
Just
good point.
Go right to the store. Wow. Thank you for the call. Let's go to.
I did not see that twist.
No. She got sued by the girl that was wearing her underwear.
Discrimination.
Christian in Venice. Hi. Hello,
hey,
Christian.
Kevin. Hey, Allie.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. Thank you. Roommates from hell.
Yeah. So I went to UC Santa Barbara, had like this killer beach house, four dudes living there.
Perfect.
And I had this roommate named Rob, and he was amazing. He hardly showered, just surfed every day. But his one great thing was he had this Rottweiler named Bailey that was perfect for party tricks. He would skateboard. He would do all these tricks, except he could never catch a ball.
Okay.
Okay.
So we would always win all these things. Anyway, one day we noticed all these defecations in the backyard started being a lot larger than normal, and we would all clean up after him, even though he wasn't our dog, but he lived with us.
Right. What was Bailey
one day
eating?
This is the thing. So one day I went to my early morning class, and it was canceled, so I came back at a time I wouldn't normally be there,
mm-hmm.
and I caught my roommate in the backyard taking a poop.
That was all from your roommate?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
no.
Why?
Did you have a working bathroom?
Yes, a perfectly good. He just thought it would be hilarious if we would be cleaning up his poop in the backyard.
I got to tell you, Christian.
Kevin loves it.
I'm with him.
Kevin.
How long did you clean up his messes?
It was one of those things where then all of a sudden you started remembering every poop you picked up that was larger than normal for a month, and you were just shaking your fist at the sky.
I'm with your roommate. I'm sorry. He did the right thing.
He got us, man.
Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew coming up just after the top of the hour. First, Ralph Garman is here with a look at the showbiz beat.
Yeah! Yeah, doggies! Yeah! Let's get them. Let's round them up. Let's drive out across the range and get out our six shooters and our Winchesters.
Ralph's bouncing.
Take on these prairie dogs.
Ralph's bouncing on his chair like he's riding a horse.
Yep. You're all in trouble now, you filthy varmints. Me and my six friends are going to take you on and save this town. Clean it up. And then sleep with that poor widder with the giant cans. Because we are the Magnificent Seven. Yeah,
you don't have a gun.
Yeah,
or a horse.
Or a horse.
You're no fun. The Magnificent Seven, one of the great all-time westerns, all rebooted and freshened up for you. This time, Denzel Washington, Chris Pratt, Ethan Hawke are amongst the seven gunmen who save a village from savages in the Old West, and to help a beautiful widow get revenge against the scum that killed her husband. The Magnificent Seven! Directed by Antoine Fuqua.
Ah.
Would you like to go?
Yes.
We're having a special K-Rock Advance screening September the 20th at the Pacific Grove Theater. If you'd like to attend, give us a call now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers win a pair of passes to see The Magnificent Seven. So pull up your boots and get your saddlebags up, throw them over your palomino, and get to a phone. Call us now. If you don't, you're a dirty side-wheeling varmint snake tooth bucket.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not only is that authentic frontier gibberish.
Sure. And you don't want to be that.
No, you don't want to be that thing.
Whatever it is.
What that guy just said. Uh-huh. Congratulations to the greatest magician in the world, John Dorenbos.
Oh, geez.
He made it to third place last night in the finale of America's Got Talent.
Yay!
Should have won it all. Should have won it all.
Instead he is a dick.
Instead of that stupid little girl singer, "Ooh, I'm 12, I sing really good." So what? Can you make a card appear out of nothing? No.
Magic is lame, Ralph.
Magic is awesome.
Please.
And John Dorenbos is the best
magician in the world.
What if he was on the Patriots and not on your Eagles?
Then he should be murdered.
Okay, that seems
kind of extreme.
But, yeah.
But appropriate. Yeah, the winner of the $1 million prize and a Vegas show
residency
or something. Yeah, I think that's what
Wait, is it a 12-year-old?
Yeah. 12, 14, something. She's a kid. Grace Vanderwall is her name.
Wow.
And she sings, and people like the way she sings, I guess.
How about that?
Whatever.
You're dead to me.
Can't make cards jump out of the air. I know that much.
I know Vegas needs more magicians.
That's
who's
right.
With me?
And more singers.
Okay. You don't need to point there and make that face.
Here's my thing why fashion is awful. Fashion's the worst thing ever.
Right.
Because first of all, it's bullying by flimsy people, basically, is what it is.
Okay.
Flimsy people come along, and they're all wispy and thin and fragile and wear odd glasses, frames. And they come to you and they say, you really can't wear that anymore. Now you need to wear this thing over here. And you say, why? This is a perfectly good piece of clothing. No, because we say so. Because me and Ann Vinatur and other magazine people tell you no, you no longer can wear that. Now you must wear this.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
It's bullying by the flimsy.
But 2 weeks ago, it was perfect.
That's the other thing. It's the just on a moment's notice, they'll just tell you, hey, you know that polo shirt you're wearing with the collar flipped up? That's very cool. What are you doing with that polo shirt with the collar flipped up? You look ridiculous. That's not in fashion anymore. They can just turn on a dime. They can just turn on you.
Yeah.
Case in point. You know what's back? You know what the new thing is? You know what everybody's wearing? You know what's in fashion?
What's happening with your face?
Bell-bottom jeans?
Nope. Mm. Worse than that.
Parachute pants.
Kourtney Kardashian, Kate Hudson, and Sarah Jessica Parker have all been seen wearing the latest fashion accessory, Kevin.
Accessory.
Something you keep stuff in.
Purse.
A purse.
No.
Fanny pack.
The fanny pack.
The fanny pack is back?
Used to be, if you wore a fanny pack, you were mocked and derided within an inch of your life.
And rightfully so.
But now the fanny pack is back.
Oh,
you. Technically, the item is called the Chanel Diamond Stitch Waist Pack.
Oh, that sounds a lot better.
And it sells
for... Sounds inexpensive.
What do you think it sells for, this fanny pack?
If it's more than $20, it's
a
ripoff.
How much can fit in it?
Some stuff. Chapstick and your keys and...
Okay.
Basically, that's it.
Chanel.
Your workout card.
Chanel. So I'd say $1,300.
$1,800.
What? Are you kidding?
Yes.
For a fanny pack?
Yes. $1,800.
Get this week stuff.
Right, Moz? Get this week stuff out.
Wow.
Now they're telling us that fanny packs are back.
For Dave, they never left.
That's true. Dave
King
never
of Mexico.
Gave it up. God bless him. He does not bend to the ways of fashion. He puts on his panda t-shirt and his fanny pack and his fingerless gloves. And he just goes out there with
so
his head
helpful.
With his head held high. He is not a slave to fashion.
Fanny packs are legit.
Right? Dave knows. Word.
He still
uses words like word and legit. He doesn't care about what the trends are.
I have about five of them.
He stands alone.
What concert were we at, Dave, where you were wearing the fanny pack and I was mocking you endlessly?
Lollapalooza
in Chicago.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah, everybody loved it is his story.
People
it was an American flag fanny pack from
whatever.
It was American Apparel.
It really doesn't matter.
Tell us more about your purchase, Dave.
I also have, the American flag has two pockets, so it has two levels, one for a deep pocket, one for a short pocket.
The story's
great.
Then
I also have a Dare one from Tilly's.
I have
very
an off
good.
Button.
This yeah, you do.
The story's awesome. Which credit card did you
Why
use when you bought these?
Why do you keep asking him questions?
Well, I use my Visa card.
Did you get money back on that, or is
back.
That just, you get cash back?
I do get cash back and points, airline points.
Oh, miles, too. That's great.
Which airline?
Oh, my God, it's so great.
Why do some people tune out?
Time to break into Purple Rain, I think. Get the crowd back.
I mean, we had them. We had them yesterday, didn't we?
We had them yesterday.
A lot of good response.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Hardy is 39. Oliver Stone turned 70. And Tommy Lee Jones, 70 years old as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
On Thursday mornings, we like to check in with Dr. Drew Pinsky. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. The website is drdrew.com. He's also on HLN through, is it September 22nd, Drew?
Yes, sir.
next week.
And Dr. Drew, Midday Live with Mike Catherwood, Monday to Friday, noon to 3 p.m. on 790 KABC.
And I believe I'll probably move over to the majors, become a CNN correspondent.
So is that right?
Yeah.
Mark, congratulations.
You called up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Does that mean you won't have time for us anymore?
No, I'll have more time for you.
Okay, sure.
I won't spend any of it with you.
Okay, oh, nice. That's the right decision. Let's talk about the IV doc.
You guys gave me a crazy topic this week, and I am so mixed in my feelings about this. Go ahead and ask your questions, and I'll see if I can answer it.
There is a thing called the IV doc, and there's a website, and there are several apps for different types of those, and they will actually come to your house and give you an IV.
Yes, they will. And by the way, you can get essentially the same thing from a visiting nurse. And I got to do a little disclaimer up front. If you remember, I'm part of the HEAL organization, which is an app that I'm on their advisory board that has a doctor come to your house within 2 hours. These are all board-certified physicians. We've carefully selected. It's $99 all in, and your insurance covers it. So that's that. And they technically could do all these things, I suppose, though we don't tend to do that kind of stuff. Maybe one day we will. I was looking at these apps or then these websites, and there are a ton of them. Now, I think, Kevin, a lot of it was generated as a result of the Las Vegas business where people were going around these mobile units and rehydrating and replacing people who had drugged too much.
Yeah, it was a hangover cure.
I believe. Did you not do that one?
How dare you, Dr. Drew?
Not necessarily because you drank so much, just to see what it was all about.
Yeah, just to see what it was all about. Research.
Of course.
Don't be ridiculous.
Because you drank too much. You did it just to see.
But let me ask you a question, though, Dr. Drew. If you have, let's say, the flu, and it's pretty bad, you've had it for a week or whatever, you have to go to the emergency room. That means 5 to 6 hours.
No, Kevin, this is the part where I start to get conflicted, because I noticed that they had what's called volume repletion or rehydration for certain, you know, bad illnesses, but ones that are treated outside the hospital. And I thought, wow, this could really be an advancement for things like severe flu or certain kinds of GI illnesses. If you have food poisoning, this could really be something useful.
So Drew is in. How about that, everybody?
I think there's a butt coming.
There's a huge butt. Okay. Here's the butt. The care or the IV fluids for illness were like $400. Again, $99 at HEAL, you get the same thing. $400 just for the IVs. And it's not clear that a licensed physician is going to come evaluate you. So you're sort of calling for it on your own in a weird way. It's just bizarre.
I feel like it should be clear if it was indeed a licensed physician. Well, they would want to make that very clear.
In other words, is somebody just sort of signing it off as a prescription, or is somebody actually evaluating you saying, yeah, it's the flu, you need this, as opposed to, oh, by the way, this is cancer and you should get in the hospital. You know, who knows what it is? We're just starting IVs on the call of the patient, and it's $400. That's insanely expensive.
That's a lot of money.
So your problem with this is just the cost.
But there's a third butt, which is... I
a lot of butts today, Dr.
I'm
Drew.
I'm totally into trying to find ways to keep people at home and make the healthcare system more efficient. Because, Kevin, you are right. Going to the emergency room is not the right answer for most things. So there's got to be ways we can come up to deal with these things properly at home. So my sort of pronouncement is, this is progress. We're moving in the right direction, but caveat emptor. Be really careful. Make sure a doctor has evaluated you, and make sure you get something that's reasonably priced, and see if your insurance will cover. There probably are things out there that it will cover, as I said, like a visiting nurse.
Does insurance cover it in Vegas when they have that hangover cure thing?
I don't think so.
Come on now.
Allie, how'd it go?
Come on, Drew. It was fine, but no, it didn't cover it.
They gave you something weird and your pupils... I don't know. But no. That is the other piece of this. Again, the IV therapies in Vegas, to me, were symptomatic of the problem. And then think of this. You know, so, yes, it's sort of axiomatic when people are drinking too much that you could help them with IV fluids, IV magnesium, IV B vitamins, thiamine. There's things you can do.
That's a perfect world.
That helps them. But they were giving them that stuff and then go, okay, head on out there.
Right, so you can go back out and drink.
How about even just a little pamphlet? Hey, there's a meeting. There's a chair waiting for you at a meeting around the corner. You might want to check out 12-step. Or if this is a problem, here are the signs of alcoholism. Nothing like that. They just pat him on the back and go, have a good time. See you next week. That bothered me.
Or tomorrow.
You know what I get bothered by? I get bothered by bad medicine, when medicine's not being practiced properly.
How can we, the consumer, tell what's good and what's bad as far as medicine with these types of services?
You make sure you have somebody, a healthcare provider you trust, and you could bounce this stuff off of. If I've learned nothing else from watching all the discussion about the presidential candidate's health in the media, is that people just don't understand what they're talking about, thinking about what these things mean. They have no idea. And, you know, when it comes to their own personal health, they're pretty clueless, too. That's why you've got to have, I've always said that's why primary care is so important. You need an ombudsman, a representative who really can help you make decisions.
So if I have a family doctor, I can call him and say, these are my
symptoms. That's what I'm
symptoms.
Saying. The family doctor goes, hey, here's a good IV therapy. And, yeah, you probably have the flu. You feel a lot better if they repleted you.
But I'm saying, so then we call the IV doctor? Or we have to go to our doctor's office? That's my question.
Well, it depends on how well your doctor knows you. Sometimes they can do it over the phone. Then you call the IV doctor, or maybe they can send a nurse in, or whatever. The point is, you make these decisions with somebody, not on your own.
What if my doctor says, you sound drunk, I can't understand you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Then what?
Are you channeling Bean right now?
What's happening?
No, Dr. Drew, you know, I sound like I'm drunk all the time now, even when I'm not. So that's unfortunate.
And when you are, man, watch out.
How dare you?
Anyway, listen, you could say to your doctor, I really don't want to come in. I want to, you know, I'll take the risk. Here's my symptoms, and can we do this at home? And usually, again, together you can work this stuff out usually.
And the name of the app that you're with, Dr. Drew?
I'm with Heal. Heal is the one that Ralph used for his child and had such a great experience. And remember that?
Yes.
Right, yeah.
His wife used it and said it was absolutely fantastic. And I'm not going to lie to you, I signed up for it that day. And I've been bummed that I haven't been sick because I can't wait to use it.
What?
Is that weird?
Yes.
Okay.
That's totally weird.
Super excited.
All right. Well, good luck on that, Allie.
Thanks.
Dr. Drew, we appreciate your time every Thursday. The website, again, is drdrew.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Dr. Drew. The HLN show is on
what? Podcast. Yep. Lots of podcasts at drdrew.com. And, you know, people don't seem to get through their head that me and Adam are doing a podcast every day. So the team's back together.
I feel like I was going to get to that.
Sorry.
DrDrew.com is the website for everything Dr. Drew. Thank you for your time, sir.
All right, bye.
Bye now. Fantagram on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38. Ralph Garman is in the studio now with a look at the showbiz beat.
You'll get me high and more neither, and I wish you would get me higher.
Did I slur that?
No.
Okay.
I'm just saying, whenever I think of people getting high and drunk.
I see.
You just jump to mind.
I'm the one that comes to mind.
Yes.
Great.
Anyone upset Bloodline's going away? Bloodline? Netflix's Bloodline?
I am
upset
not
about Bloodline?
I am not upset
TV
because
show Bloodline?
You can stop.
Oh, okay.
I am not upset because it's the perfect time to end it after, what, season three?
Yes.
I was just going to start watching.
After the upcoming
you should.
Season
no,
three.
No, you definitely should.
Okay. There'll be 10 shows that will wind up next May. Show stars Kyle Chandler, of course, Sissy Spacek, Linda Cardellini, Ben Mendelsohn. Chandler and Mendelsohn, by the way, both nominated for Emmy Awards this Sunday. But they are saying goodbye to that show. I guess they figure leave before it's too late, right? Or something like that.
We could learn a little something.
Yeah, really. Speaking of television, Will Ferrell and Andy Samberg are teaming up to develop a new comedy series.
Excellent.
Two won't be starring in it. They'll just be executive producers for a cable show called I'm Sorry, starring Andrea Savage, who's appeared both on Veep and in episodes. Very talented lady. She'll play a comedy writer, a wife, and a mom on the show. Judy Greer will co-star, and Tom Everett Scott will play her husband. I'm already in. Put the show in the air now. Let me watch.
Bitchin'.
Can't go wrong with Will, right?
Agreed.
It's tough being a supermodel, fellas.
You don't have to tell me.
Right? Look at Bella Hadid, right? She was walking the runway for Michael Kors yesterday. Next thing you know, walking in her 6-inch platform heels, everything's going fine. Boom! Then she went down on all fours, right? You know how? Don't you hate when a supermodel's on all fours?
I think she fell.
I love that so much.
She fell into the all fours position.
Sure.
And I felt bad for her, and I hated it, and I wished that they would stop taking pictures of her like that.
Do you?
And I wish they would stop putting them on my computer.
On your
hours
computer.
Hours on end.
I see.
Yes. Damn you, internet. Don't you know I have things to do? But she laughed it off, and she went on Snapchat after the fact to show a cut on her heel and swollen ankle, by the way, caused by the fall, which is, not saying it's sexier if you think she's sort of
disabled and can't run away. I'm not saying that's
what?
Sexier.
Why would you say that?
I'm saying it's not sexier.
Why would you even bring that up?
Because it's not sexy. That's why.
Name other things that aren't sexy. That's the strangest thing to name is not sexy.
Not cool.
I'm just saying.
You're a creep right now.
You're the creep.
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen's daughter, Jessica, she was kind of upset because she didn't qualify for the Summer Olympics in Rio for equestrianism.
Ism?
I don't know what it's called. Equestria? What are they called? Fromage? What's it called?
Fromage?
Yeah, I don't think
that's
cheese,
isn't it?
That's cheese, Ralph.
Collage?
You know what it is? I think it's dressage.
Oh, is that what it is?
Or something like that.
Yeah. A, you knew it was cheese, and B, you knew it was dressage.
I'm telling you.
I don't know what's happening.
Holiday Inn Express.
Yes!
That's what happened last night.
Bringing it.
His wife finally threw him out, and now he's staying at the Holiday Inn Express, and he's very sharp.
Not cool.
But don't feel too bad for her. She did win the five-star Grand Prix contest this week in Saugerties, New York. And she won the prize of $330,000 for first prize.
Wow.
Which was great. Because where else is she going to get money? She needs that $330,000. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's what Bruce Springsteen uses as bed liners for his pickup truck. That much money. Bruce Springsteen, here's a guy. Working class as working class can be, struggled, Jersey roots and everything. And his daughter is jumping fences with ponies. What a generational leap that is from one lifestyle to another, that her sport is the sport of kings while she's there with all her dancing ponies. That's why you do stuff, right? You do that so your kids can live a better life than you can. And who's bigger and better jump than that?
I can't think of any right now.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey, Ralph, I don't know if you know this, but his last show was last night in Massachusetts.
How long? I know he's shooting for the record.
Oh, this is Springsteen.
This is Springsteen. He had it was 4 hours and 10 minutes or something.
I think it was 4:06. No, in Philly.
In Philly, yeah. So what did he do in Boston?
Well, I'm just saying Philly still holds the record.
Woo! No. We're number one.
Some BS.
We're number one.
Really has nothing to do with you, Ralph.
We're number one. Fly, Eagles,
nope.
Fly.
Nope.
On the road to victory. E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
This is not about your football team.
Oh, I got
Or confused. Your city. It's about Springsteen.
I got confused. But he loves Philly more than anyone else. That's what it means.
Okay.
Right?
But I think he loves Helsinki the most because that's where he played his longest ever concert. I've said it for
who
years.
Who doesn't?
Yeah.
Helsinki? Heavensinki. That's what I call
is
it.
Is that what
that's,
you call
that's
it?
That's how wonderful that place
I've
is.
I've heard him say it a lot.
Oh, all the time.
Never makes sense.
I got a bumper sticker. Today's celebrity birthday is Tom Hardy's 39 years old. Oliver Stone turned 70. And Tommy Lee Jones also 70 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll walk the show as beat.
Take her out to SoCal. Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win this afternoon on K-Rock with an hour of commercial-free music. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, it's Friday, so we've got the movie beat. Plus, we check in with RJ Bell from Las Vegas with his picks for the NFL week number 2. And Jimmy Kimmel joins us to talk about hosting the Emmys tomorrow morning.